page 120, and we begin with the confession of sin. Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at His hand, to set forth His most worthy praise, to hear His holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. Well, come, let us worship. Let us kneel and bow down before Him. Let us confess our sins with penitent hearts and obtain forgiveness by His infinite grace and mercy. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have strayed from Your ways like lost sheep. We have followed the devices and desires of our hearts. We have offended against Your Holy One. We have done those things which we should not have done, and we have not done those things which we should have done. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Spare us and restore us, according to the promises You have declared to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. For His sake, grant that we may live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of Your holy name. The Almighty and merciful Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness of all our sins, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Christ, Your throne, the King is true. for our lection and sermon text this evening, Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us." He who sits in heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree the Lord said to me, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all those who put their trust in him." Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we have taken time out of our workaday life to gather and to hear your word. Especially this evening, we are gathering in preparation for your coming, both as we celebrate it for your birth in Bethlehem and also at the end of time. We pray that you would prepare our hearts for your coming with true repentance and true faith in you, that we would know of nothing to trust for our salvation except you and you alone. To these ends, grant us a rich measure of your Spirit. Sanctify us through the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In Christ Jesus, the Lord's anointed, whom he has set on his holy hill Zion, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation, as I said at the lection, is Psalm 2. I'm going to read some selected verses. I'm using the NIV translation. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Jesus was a man of many hats. We use that saying to describe someone who has many different responsibilities, maybe many different positions or offices. I know that in conversations with some people at times, they've even said to me, wait a minute, I've got to put on a different hat now. I may have been talking to them as a close friend, but one of the positions that they held caused them to have to speak from a different perspective. And so they said, I got to put on a different hat. I got to talk it to you not as a friend, but as something else right now. Jesus is a man of many hats. In fact, during this Advent season on these Wednesday evenings, our services are looking, or our sermons are looking at three of those hats. Jesus as prophet, priest, and king. And so this evening, we're looking at that third one. Jesus foretold as king. That third hat is really a crown. Jesus was long ago, by this very psalm, proclaimed as our king, whom God had established on his holy hill. Now, our psalm teaches us three things about Jesus as king. The first thing is that he is a king despised. And then he is a king who brings judgment. And finally, a king who can be trusted. Jesus is foretold as king, a king who is despised. Notice again those first verses of the psalm. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. The psalmist was here picturing the rebellion of the world against God and his anointed one. That's the Christ. That's what Christ means, anointed one. Jesus is being pictured here as king. And a king who is despised by the world. It pictures the world gathering together and plotting against God. In fact, the Hebrew says, more like the version that we read in the lection, why do the nations rage and consider a vain thing? They gather together and they plot against God and want to throw off his fetters, his bonds and his cords. That would be the Word of God. The Word of God through which God governs and rules our earthly lives. The world doesn't want to be constrained by how God wants it to live. And so it plots and conspires and rages against God and His Word and His Anointed One. And we see evidence of this all around us in the world. Why can't a Christian pray at school? Now, I'm not suggesting that there should be prayer in schools, but why can't a Christian exercise his faith at school? Why are there organizations in our country like Freedom From Religion? That's an organization that is fighting every step of the way, fighting tooth and nail to keep Americans free from religion. It's not fighting to protect the freedom of religion, but freedom from religion. It doesn't want America's people bound by the chains and fetters of God's Word. And so it's doing whatever it can to throw off those fetters. Yes, we can look at the world around us and see so much evidence that what the psalmist says is true. The world and its people plot against God and His Christ, against its King. But we don't just have to look at the world to see how true this psalm is. We only have to look in the mirror. Haven't we all at times felt that God's Word was too constrictive, where we wanted a little more freedom than what God wanted us to have, where we wanted to set God and His Word aside for just a little while so that we could have some fun in the way that we want to have it? And let's face it, often it isn't just fun. It's outright rebellion against our King. When we read God and His law, we chafe against those bonds and those ropes, and we want to throw them off. Yet we only have to look as far as the mirror to see how true the psalmist is, because we plot and we conspire. We come up with ways to justify our sinful actions. But really, we're doing nothing but else but rebelling against our King. But Jesus is King. And look at how He handles rebellion in our text. Polls are showing that there is a growing idea in our culture, in our society, that people want a God of convenience. They want God to be there when they need Him. They want a God that when they're sick, they can pray to and be healed. They want a God that when they're struggling financially, they can plead to and He will get them out of their messes. They want a God of convenience. It's almost like they want God to be a spare tire or a tire wrench, where He's there when they need Him, but He doesn't have much to do with their everyday lives. Just a God of convenience. And just think for a moment. Have you lately checked the tire pressure in your spare tire? And yet you're all hoping that when you need it, it will be there and it will be ready. That's the attitude that they have toward God. That they don't want him cramping their style. They just want him there when they need him. But notice the very different image of our King in the psalm. Notice God's response to those that want to throw off his chains. It says, the one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. Then he goes on to speak about this king coming with an iron scepter to shatter them to pieces. Jesus doesn't just want to be a king when you need him. He wants to rule every day of your life because he is bringing judgment. This is a side of Jesus that we just don't want to dwell on too much, especially at this time of year. We want to see him as that cuddly baby in the manger, wrapped up there in cloths, loving and unthreatening. But don't be deceived by that cloth and that flesh. That baby who laid in the manger, he is the Lord Almighty. He is the King of Kings. He will come and judge the living and the dead. Don't be deceived by that cute, cuddly flesh. Because as Paul says, in him dwells all fullness of the deity. He is God in every way. He is your King who will bring judgment. So don't use him as a God of convenience. Jesus wants you to come to him and bow down, to submit every part of your life to the governance of his word, or face his judgment. Now, what is the purpose of the words of this text, which can seem so frightening? Does Jesus want to condemn us? Does he want us consumed by the fire of his wrath? No. He wants you to see that judgment coming and run. Run to him. Notice the last line of our text. Blessed are all. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Jesus wants you to see that judgment coming, that fire, and flee to him for refuge. To run to him. If you don't, his judgment will consume you. But that is not what he desires. So maybe this evening you're sitting here wondering, man, I've made a mess of things. I've broken God's law in so many ways. Maybe his anger is going to come down on me. How can he pardon someone like me who's been so rebellious against his word? Jesus invites you to come to him and seek refuge in him. Now, how can you know that you can trust him? How can you be sure that Jesus will be a place of refuge for you in his coming judgment? Just look at what your King did so that he could be a refuge for you. He took your place, yes, your very place, in the presence of God and face God's anger and judgment over your sins so that you could hide in Him and have shelter. And facing the anger and judgment of God in your place didn't just require that He suffer physically. No, He had to suffer the very pangs of hell and enter even death itself so that you could find refuge in Him. Anyone that loves you that much can be trusted. Anyone that is willing to go to such great lengths so that you could be forgiven can be trusted. So run to Him. Run to Jesus. When you fear God's judgment coming down on your head, run to Jesus. For blessed are all who take refuge in Him. Jesus is a man of many hats, many different offices, prophet, priest, and king. One of those hats is a crown. So flee from God's judgment and wrath, and flee to your King who loves you and died for you. To Him be glory and honor and power and strength, now and forever. Amen. Please stand for the blessing. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Let my prayer rise before you as incense. Thank you.
Give to your servants that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended by you from the fear of our enemies, may pass our time in rest and quietness. Through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever.